Accession number 27730, Reel 7.
Mr. Bob Lund, Reel 7. So you were saying about the signal training at Tallinn. Now, there were other naval things you were doing. You seem to have been doing knots and splices.
Yes, we did splicing. That was the other one I couldn't think of. Splicing. Now, I enjoyed splicing because that joining two ropes together. And it was like interweaving in splicing. You could join two. On the ducks, you see, you had fenders, and they were rope fenders. And you can see from the catalogue or picture where they hook round the side. And they, when you come alongside a ship, of course they took the blunt of the coming into the ship. And they used to get worn, and we used to have to splice them up and re-rope them. That was what splicing was all about. Well, knots. You had to learn knots. I mean, there was the wreath knot, the granny knot, what was it called? The bowline knot. Now, the bowline knot was the knot that you used to tie up alongside a ship, and it was the kind of knot that would never tighten, but it wouldn't come undone. Now, it was such a simple way of doing this knot, and yet I couldn't get it. Owen used to say, he used to stay up at night. Now, bowline knot, go over to the right, go over to the left, go to the right, and pull. Got it? Yes. Over to the right, over to the left, over to the right, and pull. Lovely. You walk it. Because we used to have exams. And the instructors, I think one instructor knew that I was very backward on this bowline. The bowline knot. Well, when it came to the test, an officer came through, naval officer came through, and they earmarked me. Get him on the bowline. You can practically read your lips. I think I got my stripes back then. Corporal, would you like to do the bowline knot? I said, yes, sir. Over to the left, over to the right, over the left, pull. Oh, that's great. Can you do the wreath knot? Yes, did the wreath. Can you do the West Country knot? Yes, I can do the West Country knot. Did that. Can we go back to that bowline? I thought, here we go. Over the left, over the right, over the left. And they, the rest of the team was saying, over the left, over the right. To help me. Pull. To get away from the ship, you just went like that and you were released. And the officer said, that's marvellous. You've done that so well. So he went. And when they got back to the door, I heard him say to this sergeant, I presume he'd be a sergeant of the Navy, he said, I thought you said he was no good at the bowling. Well, he said he must have been sitting up all night practicing it. Anyway, the two of them, after he went, the two of them walked over to me. He said, are you trying to kid us about this? I said, kid you about what, sir? He said, do the bowling. And I couldn't do it. I said, I've forgotten. He said, well, you're a right one, you are. I bet you'll do it when you're out in that sea. Anyway, Owen, he was chuffed with it because we'd both passed. Knots, our splicing, our driving, our sand winching, our winching.
We haven't done sand winching yet. Now, what's this about sand traps and, well, winds and tides and sand traps and sand winching? Let's deal with them.
Well,
what's all that about?
From Towing, we went down to Abu Dhabi, where there was a lot of sand, and it's still there today, a lot of sand. And we used to ram our ducks into the sand dunes and get stuck. And we used to get the winches out on top of the ducks and take the sand anchor out to a section in the sand and pull ourselves out on a winch. Very interesting.
How exactly? Tell us in any more detail. I've not got quite pictured that. How does it work?
The winch was on the back of the duck, and if you were being pulled out from the front, you take the winch over the top, through the cab, through an hole in the cab, front of the cab, down across the top of your engine cover, and there was another piece of winching block on the front. You took it through there, fit your sand winch up and take it out and put the anchor into the sand. Then your spare driver would start the motor up on the winch and it would slowly pull you out. Now, you could do that from the front or you could do that from the back. If you were out at sea, you'd do it from the back. But that was it. That was the winching. Tides, well, tides were always awkward.
What were you learning about them?
Well, race tides, wind tides, all kinds of things about tides.
And what was the purpose of that? I think I can guess, but if you just tell us.
The guess was to make sure that you came in on the tide. Say, if the tide was, say, running from right to left, you had to come in from left to right to make your beach. If you came in on the tide, you go past your point. We had certain places to come in on the beaches, and you had to more or less come in with your tide or go against your tide. And this is jumping the gun a bit. No, I won't.
No, say that then. So you were learning anything else you were learning at either Towin or Abu Dhabi?
Yes, we all went through a course to see how we were prepared with our driving and our sea operations, and how we prepared ourselves for Morse code and semaphore and things like that. But to me, the semaphore and the Morse code was a waste of time because we never used it. The only thing we used was the compass to make sure we were coming in, especially at night. We were coming in on the right beacon.
Now, how much compass training did you get?
About the same amount. I mean,
now, what was there to learn about the compass, really? I mean,
well, the east, northeast, south, north, south, east, and west. Northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest, east, west, and
so you're learning to box a compass. So I mean, all the bits in between.
All the bits in between. And I found that again very interesting. But and also it could save your life. It could save your life quicker than Morse code, because somebody else might be watching Morse code or even signals. The Germans could be watching you and they would know where you were. Probably quicker than the Royal Navy.
Now, did you do much work in the water with the ducks at this time at either Abu Dhabi or Tawin?
Yes, we did. Owen and I became 13th out of 600 men, and we were there was three ducks and so many sergeants and so many NCOs and a couple of officers went down to Swansea Docks, and we were with the American, because we never had the landing craft tanks, only the Americans had them, and at the time, and we were with the Americans, and we had to go out into the Swansea Bay and teach the officers how to drive a duck into the landing craft tank. Sorry, landing ship tank. They were the landing ship tanks were the ones that used to open the bows, drop the ramp, and used to drive in. You drove a duck in, and you reversed out, like I showed you on that picture. A lorry couldn't do that. I mean, we could go out in 3 miles out to sea and be dropped out at sea, dead easy. But a lorry would have to come in, a tank would have to come in. A floating tank could come out, could be dropped a mile out. But on Omaha Beach, they dropped them 3 miles out.
But we'll come to that, don't worry. So you were teaching the officers to get on and off the landing ship tanks in Swansea Bay?
Yeah, yes. And we had our own officer on, Major Armstrong. He was an idiot. And I said to Owen, I said, you can teach him. I don't want nothing to do with him. Don't want to know him. Anyway, whether he held it against me or not, I don't know. But anyway, he stripped me again.
What didn't you like about Major Armstrong? Let's finish with that today. What was it that you didn't like about him?
He was small and pompous. And if I had Major Holman here now, and we know him very well, and so does my wife, he would tell you exactly the same. Nobody in the company liked him. And that went right the way up to the adjutant.
And that was because he was pompous?
He was pompous.
Was he competent at all?
I would say no to that. But he must have done something good to have got up to Major. He must have done something good. But he was about 5 foot nothing. And he was just struck round. He would have made a good SS officer, strutting around with his jack boots on. But he always made a beeline for me because he knew that my rifle would get me on a charge. And if I knew that Major Armstrong was taking the parade, I'd make some excuse to make sure I wasn't there. Go sick or fall over and do something to get off it. But he wasn't liked, honestly, he wasn't liked by anybody in the company. The officers didn't like him. It was a shame, really, because Captain Poole, who was in the 101 at the very beginning, should have been made up to Major, and he would have been the Major of the company, and the company was Well, it was a lovely company. Beautiful. Well, it's silly to talk about a beautiful company, but I mean, it was a very good company.
So after, the next thing really is, after you'd been training the officers in Swansea Bay, what happened next then?
We then got orders to get back to Towin to pick up the rest of the company and make our way to Scotland. We carried on up the, eventually got onto the A1 and right through to Edinburgh and over the river there, and then on to up through Perth and up to Inverness. We went up on the A9, I think it was the ANDS, it's the A9, and got to Inverness, and we went on the outskirts of Inverness, round Bewley, round to a place called Fort Rose, not Fort George, Fort Rose. Fort George was one side of the Firth and the other side was Fort Rose. We went into Fort Rose and we were there for about a week or so.
And what were you doing at Fort Rose?
Oh, usual diving into the water and missing a batting, really in general.
Just practicing with the ducks?
Yeah, practicing with the ducks. Well, then I was called up to the office and they said, you've got to go over to Fort George. I said, oh, I should go round by road. No, they said, the tide's out and you'll be able to go straight across the Firth and into Fort George in the back way. They are expecting you. You've got to carry some stores over to them. They're putting skirts on tanks. So I said, right, okay. We got loaded up and off we went. Just as the tide was on the turn. And so we put our wheels in to give us a bit extra traction. And so we got six wheels going merrily along in the water, and the propeller. It only was a little tiny 12-inch propeller. And we gets up to the back end of the Fort George, and some soldiers pointed some rifles at us and said, you can't come in here. I said, well, I'm coming in there. So we went up there, one of their hardings, and concrete hardings, and they said, what do you want? I said, well, I've got some stores for you. If you don't let me in, I should take them back and you won't get them. So they said, all right, we'll open the gates for you. So they opened the gates, and there was a sergeant there. Said, now whatever you see here, you don't talk about. If you do, we'll have you back here and shoot you. So I said, oh, that's jolly. So what have you got for us? I said, got some stores for various things, and I don't know what's in the boxes. So Owen, my spare driver, he said, oh, come on, let's get this off and let's get back to across the water before it's completely full up. Otherwise, we'd be on the turn and we'd be out to sea in no time. So we unloaded, and in fact, we had a look around. We went in their canteen, had a cup of tea, and asked one or two questions. They said they were putting skirts on tanks. I said, you never float that tank over there. So they said, well, we will. We test them out in the Firth. And we can do about a mile with a skirt on in the water, but no more. So if they were out at sea and they were further away than a mile, they would sink. I'll tell you a story about that later on. So we got unloaded, and they said, do you want to go back on the roadway? And we said, no, we'll go back on the Firth. So then opened the back gates and we sailed out into the Firth, and our people didn't think that, our company didn't think we would come back across the Firth, because the Firth was on the turn. and it would be rushing in and it would throw us straight up to Bewley. But anyway, we did manage to get across with our putting our six wheels in and charging across the water and up into the camp just in time for them to say, oh well, tomorrow we're off down south. Oh, so that's jolly. They said we'll best get filled up and get extra petrol on board and get your stores on, whatever you're carrying. See your sergeant of your platoon and get loaded up. So we got loaded up. And the next morning, about 7 o'clock, we were on our ducks and all in line in convoy. And we went out through Inverness, down the A9 through Picklochry and out to Perth. And then Perth we went down through to, we stayed the night at Perth, because it was a fair old trip, you know, about from just over 100 miles from Fort Rose to Perth. And then we had a night there, and then we went. There were no mishaps on the road. Everything seemed to be going smoothly, not like all our convoys. Something always used to go wrong. But
were they all right to drive on the road?
Oh yeah, they were smashing on the road. We used to get up to about 60 miles an hour on the road, because there was no civilian, well, hardly any civilian traffic. It was only when we got near the towns that we run into traffic. But
so where were you going then? You stopped overnight.
We went on down to a place called Rowland's Castle. That's on the south coast. That's where we were making for. It's at near Emsworth, which is on the just off the A27, or the M27 as it is today. And we went into this large park, and there was no end of other companies and units there, all getting detailed for this, that and the other. And we knew something was on the go, so went to the soldiers that were already there when they saw us ducks coming in. They knew they were for the eye jump. So it was a very, very large camp, and we were in bell tents, which was another experience. I'd never been in a bell tent.
What were they like?
It was horrible. it was a wooden floor on the ground, and then you had to go and get your palliasses filled up with. That's not in there. Your palliasses filled up with straw and make yourself comfortable. And we always had three blankets. We had no sheets, of course, unless you managed to get any parachute sheeting, which was very good. And there would be, can't remember how many was in the bell tent. There was one person per section, from the top of the pole down to the ground. That was one person. I think there was 18 bods to a tent. Might have been more, might have been less. I can't quite remember. One of the funny things about it, when it was raining, if you didn't like a person in that tent, you'd run your finger or your bayonet down the centre of that section, and the rain would come in, and it would wet the person you didn't like. There was one or two that I didn't like. I was hoping I might have been near Armstrong. I would have certainly put one down on him. Anyway,
So what were you doing at Roland's Castle?
Training. We were, the Navy was training down there. All the troops, various troops were training on the beach. Where we used to go out to was Selsey Point, Selsey Bill, which is between Chichester and Bognor. And the Navy was practicing landing craft there. And there was one particular morning I was with the Bomber Duck, and the sergeant came over and said, "You've got to go down to Selsey Bill." I said, "Why?" He said, "Do you know where it is?" I said, "Yes, I know where it is." They said, "Well, you've got to go out. There'd be a corvette out in the bay waiting for you." I said, "Well, are they waiting for me?" So they said, "Well, you've got to do a job for them. Remember the storm last night?" I said, "Yes." They said, "Well, quite a number of landing craft tanks had got stuck on the beach and they can't get off because there's no high tides until for quite a while. And they want you to do some work down on it." So off we went. Owen and I, we went with our duck. We'd already filled up with petrol, and that was one thing you always did when you came in. You always filled up with petrol because you didn't know where you were going next morning. Got down to Selsey Bill, and there were some naval fellas there. They said, "Oh, Driver Lunn, Harrison." "Yes, yes, sir." "Oh, no, you didn't call me, sir. I'm only a bod." And off we went. They said, "You've got to take us out to that corvette out at sea." "All right." So, yes, so we just checked our details on the duck, made sure everything was all right. One of the main things that you always did on a duck before you went out to sea, you made sure you could screw, you went round the back to your propeller and screwed the grease cap down, so that it oozed out on the, so it wouldn't burn up on the shaft. And that was very particular. You had to make sure you always did that. Right,